severe, like Hurricane Andrew in 1992, Category 5. And Category 5 is the wind about 175 miles and over. And it did a lot of damage in Florida. But this time, the thought in this west coast, in that beach area, that area people are saying, this hurricane is brewing in that Gulf of Mexico, is going to go someplace else. It had been done usually, but it didn't. And they knew that hurricane will come at some point. So they are prepared, but they did not know when and what kind of force is going to come. But this one landed, boom, Category 4, 154 miles an hour. This building, after it is over, it stood. If you look at all around the houses, homes, they are leveled. The very next door to his was just cement slab. That's all they can see. When the owner of this building, Dr. Leckie, and his uncle, Mr. King, when they built it 2 years ago, they want to build this, their beach house, to last long for generations. So what they did was they built it over, way over the building code. Now, on the west coast of Florida, east coast, the building code is the new buildings, they must withstand the wind speed of 175 miles. But on this side, east coast, they lowered it. 130, 120. However, this Dr. Leckie and his uncle, we don't want to do that. We want to build it way over. They want to build it to withstand wind speed of 250 miles and over. Now, in the levels of category, measuring the hurricane, category 5 is the top. There's no category 6. Maybe in the end time, we may see Category 6. So they built it to withstand over 250 miles per hour. And also, they built it that high above the ground. You see the piling? That's 40-foot piling they put go on the ground. And then that space is that when the hurricane comes, they know that this wave comes in high. So that's why they built it. At the time when it happened, the Dr. Leckie was in Pennsylvania, I believe, 400 miles away. And watching from the security camera they installed in that house, watching those wind just rushing by. And he was really agitated whether this home is going to withstand. So he drove down and he saw the house, very little damage. Can you see the next house, that how it is compared? Look at that. And other places in the same region, look at those damages. It's all They built it more than the building code is asking. Far more. Look at your handouts. Great Controversy, chapter 39, the time of the trouble. Almost to the last passage of that chapter. You heard this one before. The time of trouble such as never was is what? Soon to open upon us. And we shall need an experience which we do not now possess, and which many are too indolent to obtain. It is often the case that trouble is greater in anticipation than in reality. You know final is coming. You prepare, you cram it, and you do it. Oh, after that, oh, it's not too bad. However, this one, it says what? But this is not true of the crisis before us. The most vivid presentation cannot reach the magnitude of the ordeal. So how can you do that? So Jesus is coming. Is he coming? When the gospel is reaches as a witness to all kindred and tongue and people. And Christ Object Lesson, page 69, says what? The shaded one. Christ is waiting with a longing desire for the manifestation of whom? Himself, Jesus Christ, in who? In his church. We are his church. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come to claim them as his own. He will come. Amen. When our character is perfectly reproduced. So how do we do that? In this day with God, page 263 says, we are forming character for heaven. The same page is describing character of Jesus. Christ never murmured. You are here in this convocation. I believe you never murmured. You never uttered discontent, displeasure, or resentment. How do we reach that? How do we reach that like Christ? Christ said, John 13:15, I have given you an example. He is our example. So what do you do? Desire of Ages, page 83. It's a familiar quotation. It would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each week. Is that what it says? Is that right? What's in the paper? Each what? Not once a week on Sabbath day. Each day. In contemplation? What? Contemplation? What is contemplation? Meditating. Think hard. The life of Christ, we should take it point by point and let the what? Imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing ones. Imagination. We should use imagination. At the time of when Jesus was in Gethsemane praying, or on the cross when he was lamenting in deep sorrow when he was being crucified. Imagine as if you are there. Imagine the people. What kind of people were there? You're one of them. Can you see whether in the mid-afternoon, what kind of smell you can smell? Thought from the Mount Blessing, next paragraph. Let us in imagination go back to that scene. And as we sit with the disciples on the mountainside, Sermon on the Mount, enter into the thoughts and feelings that filled their hearts. And thoughts and feelings will form the character. So let's look at the promises. And look at the back page. Page B. On the left side, it says what? Psalm 18, 2 to 4. The Lord is my what? And my? And my? My God, my strength in whom I trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. This is a promise. So what do we do with this promise? We have this paper handy in our pocket somewhere, folded. How do we make this promise as our own so we can recall anytime we need it? What's the answer?
Memory.
Oh, memorize. How do we memorize? There is no other way we have to memorize. Okay, so it's a memorization process. Number one, what does it say? Work on one verse at a time. Just one verse. Read the verse quietly 20 times. Are you sure? Why do we say aloud 20 times?
We can hear it.
Huh? So we can hear. And also we use our mouth and tongue. And we see it. So more senses we use, the better impression to us. But if you write it at the same time, the better. You write it, say aloud, see it, and you hear it. How many times? 20 times. So it takes a little time. Number three, read the verse aloud once, then speak the verse once from memory. So you work on it. You memorized your doctrine, Sabbath doctrine, state of the dead doctrine, and you memorize one verse, and then from read aloud once, and then from your memory, repeat it 10 times. That's number two. Number four, quote the verse without mistake 5 times in a row. Then you are ready for next Bible verse. Important thing is that I need to set a goal. I'm going to spend how many minutes, how often? I'm going to spend 5 minutes. 5 minutes is not going to work. Maybe 20 minutes to start. Memorizing. If you're serious about it, if you understand like that, Start with 20 minutes, increase it, depending on your desire. And then you review it. Each week, how did I do it? At the same day, did I do this one or not? Set a goal. If you don't set a goal, it's not going to work. I'm going to do it from tomorrow morning. Before my morning devotional time. As I begin, I'll spend 20 minutes for memorization. Is that a good goal? Say yes. If we don't do it, it's not going to happen. As we begin our morning devotion time, as Jesus did, Mark 1:35, Christ got up early in the morning, way before the dawn, and went out. So we are Christian, we want to be like Christ. So we want to follow his example. He said, what? I have set an example. So you memorize it until it becomes, this morning I said this at 5 o'clock, John 3:16. When whatever the verse you memorize becomes like you can recite, just like John 3:16, then you review it once a month. And then after that, once in 6 months. And you have to use it whenever the time comes. The best way to memorize Bible verses is for us to become a pastor or Bible worker or medical missionary. So we use Bible verse all the time. So as we memorize it, and the purpose of memorization is that for us to become like Christ as we meditate. Two paragraphs above that, it says what? Meditation, early morning often found him, Jesus Christ, in some secluded place, meditating, searching the scripture, or in prayer. It says early morning. So start our life, daily life, early in the morning. If you start late, we're going to be in trouble. So you remember King David? He had a problem with one of the young woman, taking bath. And if you look at the scripture, he got up late in the afternoon. Get up early in the morning. The next paragraph says, meditation and prayer are necessary to growth in grace. So meditate upon his character. The next one in Steps to Christ, page 70, this is precious. Let the mind dwell upon his love. Whose love? Love of Jesus Christ. Upon his beauty, the perfection of his character. Christ in his self-denial. Christ in his humiliation. Christ in his purity and holiness. Christ in his matchless love. This is the subject for the soul's contemplation. When you meet with the person you are interested in to give a Bible study, they often say, what am I going to contemplate? What am I going to be thinking or meditate? Help them to read the gospel. And there is his self-denial. Why? So that way, we will become like Jesus Christ, who had so much self-denial. Compassion. Kindness. That's the life that we need to contemplate. And the next line says, it is by loving him, copying him, depending wholly upon him. So we need to have, here is the patience of the saints, here are they keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 14:12. So, we need to have a faith of Jesus. His faith was, he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, let this cup pass from me, but not by my will, but thy will be done. Complete trust. Complete faith. Faith of Jesus. So that you are to be transformed into his likeness. We need to experience transformation every day. How do we do that? She gave us the formula how we can be transformed every day. So I'm looking at the page one. Fourth paragraph from the bottom. So with all the promises of God's word. Are you there? In them, he is, who is he? God is speaking to us individually. So this promises, as we read and memorize and meditate, he is speaking to us individually. Speaking as directly as if we could listen to his voice. So if you go down to the second promise in that block, it says, Psalm chapter 9:9-12. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. So it says, Lord is speaking to us individually. As if we could listen to his voice. What a wonderful promise. It is in these promises that Christ communicates to us his grace and power. So through this promise, we are being changed because he gives us the power. That's why it is meditation and prayer, meditating his word and praying over it is necessary to growth. So I know some of you have done the praying scriptures. Never heard of it? How many of you never heard of the praying scriptures? So you go back to Psalm 18:2-4. It says what? The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. If you flip the page, there is a prayer. It says what? I praise you, Lord. That's the beginning of your prayer. that you are my high tower that I can run to in my distress. The troubles I face are overwhelming. The enemy wants to overcome me and bring me to despair. But you are my deliverer. I will hope in you. That's an example. Isaiah 41, 10 to 13. Fear thou not, familiar one. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And how do we pray? I praise you, Lord, that I don't need to be fearful about the future. Once you know this example, you can make it your own, right? God gave us a creative mind. We don't have to copy this one all the time. This is the startup, beginning. So every promise, in fact, all the scriptures, when you memorize the promises especially, you can say prayer. The next one down the line, Joshua 23:10. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he is that fights for you. And he has what? Promised you. Praise the Lord. I don't have to fight. You're fighting for me. I'm so blessed. You're my God. Because of your promise, you're going to be fighting for me today. I'm going out with a joy in my heart and tackle today's challenge. Whatever the challenge, Satan and his evil angels throw at me. That's the praying scriptures, just to use the word and praise the Lord. I thank you for this promise. On the right side, second from the bottom, Luke 21:15. Do you see that? For the time of trouble at the end, it says what? I will give you mouth and wisdom, which all of your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor trust. Christ triumphant. You can see that page 2. Our handout. This is going back and forth between the two sheets and front and back page so that you don't get asleep. Wake up. Okay? Second paragraph, it says, Luke 21:15 is quoted, so it will be again. Seventh-day Adventists will fight the battle over the seventh-day Sabbath. Christ told his disciples that they would be delivered up to councils, but he told them also that they were not to be anxious as to how they might vindicate the truth. For he would give them a mouth and wisdom that all their adversaries could not gainsay or resist. So he will give us a wisdom and mouth. What to say, how to say. The condition, even though she doesn't spell it out, we need to have something in our memory, something to say. If we don't put it in, you can open your mouth, nothing will come out. So we have to put it in. What? His word, scriptures. We have to put it in. So we memorize scriptures. It becomes very handy. So you are there at the council. You defend your Sabbath. How do you do that? Why do you go to church on Saturday? Sabbath. Why? Because it's a part of the commandment. But I say, because Jesus kept the Sabbath. Can you show me from the Bible? Yes, I can. I know in my Bible, it's on the right side in the corner at the bottom, and then it goes to the next page. So they're going to buy that? So where is it? They say, I know it's in the gospel. So those people who came, those of you who came in the morning, so where is it? That was only a few, couple of hours ago. So Luke 4:16, it says what? And he came to Nazareth, Jesus, as his custom was. That's the important part. Where he had brought up in Nazareth, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue. And on the Sabbath day, stood up for to read. That is in Luke 4:16. But he died, all the commandments, nailed it on the cross. Then what do you say? He died, but he kept it when he was alive. And you say what? Good question. I'll give you my pastor's number and call him. I'll give you my Bible teacher, Pastor Lopez. I'll give you his number. Good question. But you know that Matthew 24, signs of a second coming? By the way, what chapter is it in Exodus about the commandments?
120.
Huh? 120. We should know that. It's chapter? What? Chapter 20. Exodus 20, right? Sabbath commandment is 8 through 11. So, in Matthew 24, you're talking about the signs of his coming. And look at verse 20. What does it say? What does it say? But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. That he's talking about well after he was resurrected and went to heaven. Well after. Oh, he says, what does this Bible meaning? Doesn't it say that we should not keep it, or we should keep it after he died on the cross? It says, keep it. What verse was it? Verse 20. What chapter? Chapter 24. That, I think all of you know that. Chapter 24 of Matthew is second coming, signs of second coming. So have some kind of way that you can memorize these Bible verses. By the way, it's very interesting. 20 and commandments, Sabbath commandment is very interesting. I'll just give you one more. Go to Ezekiel chapter what? What chapter are we talking about? In Exodus commandment, in what chapter?
20.
So when you go to Ezekiel, what chapter we should go?
20.
And what verse we should go?
20.
What does it say in verse 20? Verse 20, it says, and hallow my Sabbath, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. It is not Jewish Sabbath. God says it's my Sabbath. Isn't that important? But this is not verse 20, but if you go back, there's another verse in the same chapter, verse 12. So that's just the extra you can think about. So it says here, go back to page number one, third from the bottom, in daily study, the what method? Verse by verse method is often most helpful. Let the student take one verse. How many verse?
One
verse. And concentrate the mind on ascertaining the thought that God has put into that verse for him. And then dwell upon the thought until it becomes your own, my own. Until you read it and then you go on to, okay, I finished my daily requirement of reading Bible. I'm done. Rather than take the Bible verse, write it on your small paper or in your smartphone, then type it in the note section. And whenever you have time, open it up. Oh, that's the one I was thinking about this morning. Think about it. And that's what Jesus did. So therefore, I need to do it, but I cannot do it. Lord, strengthen me with your strength so I can do it. For your glory. So when we do that by his strength, when we meet Jesus, we'll say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If we do it on my own strength, we may not even get there. Even if we get there, when we see Jesus, we'll just go on walking by because we have nothing to thank for. We did it on my way, my own strength. So we need to continue experience how we depending on him wholly in everything. So when we gain that experience, we know the end, when end time comes, time of trouble comes, we have that experience that we can go back. Oh, I was in that trouble. I recited this promise. It says, fear thou not, for I am with you. I recalled that Bible verse when I was in trouble back in many years ago. But I do know that he came through for me. So this time, when that happens, I know he will come through. Christianity is experiential religion. We need to experience it. We need to experience Bible verses, especially promised Bible verses, in our daily life. So that we can recall. Oh, this is how he helped. I know he will help me. From the experience, student knows that when home vesper comes, when they come to my home, they will get a good meal. Because they know from the experience, my wife is a good cook. If they don't experience it, they might have heard of it, but they don't know how good it is. But when they experience it, they are longing for next home vesper time. Experience. We need to know. Page one, this handout. So when you go home, take these promises and read contemplatively. What did I say? Contemplatively. And prayerfully. And each verse. And stop. And each word. If you do not understand that word, do word study. And if you do not understand, spend some money and get Bible dictionary. Or go to local library if you don't have a computer and Google it. Or that's the time when you call your Bible teacher or your pastor. What does this word, if you don't have a strong concordance, then you can ask him, what does this mean in original word in Hebrew or Greek? And they will be happy to explain it to you. Each verse and each word, stop, park yourself, and let that word sink in. In other words, dwell in your heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, and richly and in all wisdom. Dwell. Let the student, we are all student, we are all student in the school of Christ. Let the student take one verse and concentrate the mind on ascertaining the thought that God has put into that verse for him, that dwell upon the thought until it becomes his own. The last two lines there, in page one, while the world is progressing in wickedness, none of us need to flatter ourselves that we shall have no difficulties. But it is these very difficulties that bring us into the audience chamber of the Most High. We may seek counsel of one who is infinite in wisdom. Let's go to the Isaiah 26:23 that it was read by Brother Buyo at the beginning of this presentation. Isaiah 26:20. Isaiah 26:20. And 25, 26, 27. In book of Isaiah, so many words, in that time, Isaiah is definitely talking about the time of the Lord, day of the Lord, when he is coming. In Isaiah alone, in that time is described in 43 times. Of course, it's a thick book, 66 chapters, but that says many. But in 25, there's your favorite verse, verse 25, verse 9, and it shall be said, in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. Are we waiting for him? Well, don't come now. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in salvation. 26, it starts out, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. And 26, verse 20, that's the one we are interested in. Come, my people. He says, come. So what should we do? We should go. He says, come. He says, I don't want to go. I can do it. The Bible says, come. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and the heavy laden. And he will give you rest. Who will give me rest? He will. Nobody. Now, little child, little baby, they always seek for mom's bosom, because when they go there, they know they have a peace, they have a rest. They don't go to dad. There's no peace there. They can have a rest. Always go to mom. So we need to go to Jesus, because Jesus says, come unto me, then I will give you rest. If you don't come to me, what? You don't have a rest. So he says, Isaiah 26:20, he says, come, my people, enter unto thy chambers. The secret place. It's talking about holy place. The seven candlestick, and there's a table of showbread, and then altar of incense. You are right in the middle. The Word of God, Holy Spirit, and you're praying. That's the secret chamber. So we need to study sanctuary. Seventh-day Adventist people of sanctuary. So, come my people, enter thou unto thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself as it were a little moment. We don't know how little moment is, how long that is. Until the indignation be overpassed. Page 2, we are going to the end now. Second from the last paragraph, last day events, chapter 5, devotional life. The last quote it used was this one. How many of you have this book, Last Day Events? Some of you do not have one. That's the manual, how we can prepare for the last day. If you don't have it, I don't know whether we have in bookstore. You can order it in ABC. It says what? If you are right with God, when? Today. You are ready if Christ should come today. The matter of fact is that we do not know when we die. It can happen anytime. So, if something happens, if we die, that we are hoping by faith, prayerfully, that when we wake up, I'll be lifted up in the air and see him in the air. Or rather, when we wake up, look at all, what are these people? Very interesting people. What is? We are in the wrong place and 1,000 years later. So that's why if we are right with God today, you are ready if Christ should come today. Steps to Christ, page 70, verse 1. Consecrate yourself to God in the evening or in the afternoon. Says what? In the morning. Make this your very first what? What's the next word? Work. Do you like to work? My wife says I'm workaholic. Some people do like work. But this is work. It doesn't come easy, in other words. You have to make an effort. Consecrate yourself to God. In the morning, make this very first work. Let your prayer be. And she write it, prayer for us. Take me, O Lord, as holy thine. I lay all my plans at thy feet. Use me today in thy service. Abide with me, and let all my work be wrought in thee. This is a weekly matter. Is that what it says? Daily matter. Each morning, consecrate yourself to God for that day. Surrender all your plans to Him to be carried out or given up as His providence shall indicate. Thus, day by day, I have my to-do list every day except Sunday. Other days I have my work there, but the president comes and says, do this. And that's the one I'm doing. On Sunday, I don't have a to-do list. I have a honey-do list. That's all my list. Surrender all your plans to Him to be carried out or given up. His providence shall indicate. Thus, day by day, you may be giving your life into the hands of God. And thus, your life will be molded more and more after the what? Life of Christ. As we prepare, HMS Richard, the one who started Voice of Prophecy, he wrote it in devotional book, The Promises of God. It came out in 1957. If you can get it, it's a wonderful book. Every day there is a promise and his explanation. Sometimes he quotes Ellen White. After he used Psalm 91:1, we should memorize that chapter. Psalm 91, verse 1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That secret place is most holy place. You can think about it. He says this, shortly after the Civil War in the United States, two Americans were crossing the Atlantic and heard the third man with an exceedingly rich tenor voice singing on deck in the moonlight, Jesus, lover of my soul. When the music ceased, one of the men turned to the singer, asked if he had been in the Civil War. He said that he had been a Confederate soldier. Then he was asked, he was at such a place and such a date. Yes, he said. And the curious thing that happened that night, I was on sentry duty on the edge of the dark wood. The night was cold and I was lonely and a little frightened because the enemy was close. I was homesick and miserable too. About midnight, when everything was still, I began to feel unusually depressed and frightened. So I began to sing this hymn softly, Jesus, lover of my soul. When I came to verse, all my trust on these state, all my help from thee, I bring cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. A strange peace came over me, and I was no longer afraid. Now, said the first man, said, listen to my story. I was a Union soldier. Those of you who are not well-versed in U.S. history, there's a Confederate South and U.S. Union soldier. With a party of sharp shooters and scouts in the woods that very night, we saw you outlined against the sky. My men focused their rifles on you. And when suddenly you sang those words, cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. We listened. I said, boys, put down your rifles. We cannot shoot now. That's going to be the closing hymn. Closing hymn number 487. 487. And he writes it, We are not merely to flee to God's secret place, but to abide there. For in the time of trouble, we shall hide me in his pavilion. Psalm 27:5. In the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. In harmony with this promise, our prayer may be Psalm 17, verse 8. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. May we all make these promises to our own and meditate upon it oftentimes. And it becomes mine, ours. So when the time comes, and we shall use it, and we shall be under the secret place of the Most High.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.